Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
And a very pleasant good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. 2:06 in the morning, November the 23rd, 2017. My name is Mark Carmen, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Dan Long's producing. Vic Vaughn's in the newsroom. Esmeralda Leon's in traffic. Longtime radio superstar Seth Marks has joined me in the studio. And I think we should just get a little deep on the old Thanksgiving here, Seth. I got to be honest. Yeah, by the way, hello. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you. Just want to remind our listeners to set their scales back 10 pounds tonight.
Always a good idea. I'm very excited to eat like a pig later today.
Best holiday of the year, no?
I agree. Best holiday of the year. I love the food.
Agnostic.
It's
agnostic.
That's true. It is.
It's an American holiday.
It's
not one of those BS run to Hallmark.
It's true. You don't get a card on Thanksgiving. No one gives cards for Thanksgiving. Only the elite give cards for Thanksgiving. Like Dan Long normally gives me a card for every holiday. I don't get one for on Thanksgiving. Unbelievable.
It's kind of how you weed out the real card people from the fake card people.
Are you a fake card person? Do you ever go card like just a random person at work? You're a very highly successful corporate guy. Somebody does a good job for you. Do you ever show up with a thank you card with maybe a little Starbucks in there? Are you that guy?
It's arguably, and I think you know that's a rhetorical question. So short answer, absolutely not. But I kind of, as I get older, realize the power of a handwritten note.
Right.
Like, I think I remember almost every single handwritten note anybody's written me in the last 10 years for sure.
Makes me think of my great aunt Ev, who passed away about 10 years ago. Went to camp to Bagamon as a kid, one of the privileged North Shore kids. Get to go to camp 4 week, 8 week. My aunt, who loved me to the end of the earth, would do anything for me. Every single day. Handwritten note. How are you? Cubs lost. Be safe. I miss you. I love you. Done. But every day you'd get a piece, the piece in the mail to open up. Other kids didn't have that. And Ev came through every single day.
Full disclosure, it doesn't take a lot to impress a guy like you.
That's true.
And I could say that only because I've known you since your prepubescent days. We grew up.
We did meet as a junior in high school. That's true.
I was junior in high school. I think you were shaving yet.
No, definitely not.
You weren't doing anything at that point.
I wasn't. Still barely am. Thank you.
Well, full disclosure, you have really blossomed. I've honestly, have tremendous, here we are on an overnight, I've followed your career from day one. You have stuck true to your guns.
Borderline start in my career. We can go through Moody Bible and Mark Carmen sitting there with the tape recorder going to Columbia College as an intern and you starting the Naked Truth about sports. But go ahead. Yes.
No, that's where we reunited after college and going through high school together and saw you covering the NBA draft combine. And it was a June, early June. Well, no, when was that?
I think that's, well, it's...
No, it had to be after the finals. It was...
Yeah, maybe July.
Oh, no, actually, because...
It was summertime. Whatever it was. Summertime.
Yeah.
Bob Lanier was there. That's all I know. You were, like, chasing down Bob Lanier in his size 16 shoes. You had something going on with Bob Lanier. It was a great Milwaukee Buck back in the day. If we got Wisconsin listeners, I know you appreciate that shout-out.
Bobby Lanier did some great Miller Lite commercials back in the day.
Yeah, those commercials were great. Bring them back.
Less filling.
Tastes great.
Less filling. Are you a less filling guy or a tastes great guy?
Definitely doesn't taste great.
Well, I mean, it's a little flavored water. It's always good.
Right. Excuse me for the, wow, anything can happen at any moment tonight. Been battling the cold.
So there you were as a young, what, 21 probably at Moody Bible, 1996?
I was actually 36 years old at that point. No, I was 22, 23.
22?
Sure.
Working with a cassette recorder, if I recall, with one of those Radio Shack plug-in microphones.
Same thing that Les Grobstein uses today. Who I love dearly.
No, he did set the bar for a passion, dedication, and working and not caring about compensation and all the things you've clearly followed.
Money isn't everything, Seth.
100%. I mean, we could use this as a therapy session because I have absolutely allowed, I have 100% allowed money to be my number one motivator.
These things happen. You're not alone.
Three kids, a lot of overhead. You and I, of course, were in radio in the 90s, early 90s, and that's where we Moody Bible, we met, got a little radio show. Next thing you know, I'm got a woman pregnant. I mean, it was
real responsibility.
Love of my life, but not, you know, yeah, then I had to drop out of radio. And I followed you from the sidelines, and you have stayed true to it. How many markets have you been in?
I have.
Or stations. How many, have you had more gigs than John Fox?
No.
Because I looked at his Wikipedia page the other day. John Fox, 17 gigs.
Excuse me.
And hopefully the 17th ends pretty soon, but I don't want to digress too
yeah,
much.
We're,
How many places for you?
Kansas City, Houston, Austin, Chicago, DeKalb. It's five. No biggie.
No, that's not bad at all.
No. No, no. I wish there were, to be honest, I wish there was more, there had been more steps along the journey. I got in, I got out, I got in, I got out, all that type of stuff. You made me think of a moment today. I was, got up today. My other gig, the old fansided.com, very fast. We're going to talk about a video that I put out over there. It's on my Facebook page. If you friend me, I will friend you back. I need friends. I love friends. And if you follow me on Twitter tonight, at the Carm, I will mention you on the air, and we will deepen our relationship. And so you follow me, I mention you, we grow together. That's the plan, at the Carm. I just want to know who's listening. I love the opportunities to do the overnight. It's such a special, you're a special group, the ones that are up late at night, listening, supporting, greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Would love to customize the content of the show based on the demographic of the listener. So any research you can provide us, Mark, on the demographic so I know which direction to go would be wonderful. Otherwise, I want to talk about Ryan Cheverini. Is that how you say it?
Yes, that is how you say it.
Love to talk about Cheverini.
Interesting. Right now, we've already got some email. Somebody wants to know how to email Nick D's out of context. I don't really know what we've said already. The 847, I got a card for Thanksgiving from my nieces. That's adorable. Those nieces are being raised by beautiful parents. And the 781 says, I always send a Thanksgiving card to my mom. Dan, do you send cards over there?
I'm not a card sender, but I like receiving, you know, like you guys were talking about, the power of a handwritten note. It still means something. And by the way, you could email straight out of context to nickdshow@gmail.com for
there
first
you go.
Text.
There you go.
Nick would be right in the, you'd be a millennial, or Nick?
I don't know what the
Nick's in his 50s. He ain't no millennial.
No, I think you're talking about me.
No,
Oh, Dan.
Dan, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Dan, would you call yourself a millennial?
I don't know, because I've heard different, I think I was born in 89, so I think I'm kind of on the cusp of...
You're millennial, 100%.
Okay.
100%. According to Wikipedia, where is the course?
I trust.
Yeah, Wikipedia. And then you got the Gen Z coming on the heels. I have, it's an interesting generational, you know, behavior, the handwritten note, just like the sport of football, will eventually be completely obsolete.
See, I don't think so.
Which goes first, the handwritten note or the sport of football?
Well, I think they both last, but let's focus on the handwritten note. And you are making that's a worrisome proposition you just threw out there, that the youth of America doesn't even learn really how to write anymore. So 100 years out, 50 years out, whatever it would be, that nobody would ever sit down and take a pen to paper. I don't think that's hard. That would be rough if that's the case, Seth. I got to be honest. That would hurt the heart.
It's definitely going that direction.
No question.
But everything is, runs in cycles. There's a chance that the Gen Z generation, which is the one behind the millennials, because each generation gets a little softer, if you will, and of course, if you talk to Ed OB, maybe with the softness comes a little more emotional quotient, if you will, a higher EQ, which then generates the handwritten note, right? I think the work ethic has gotten a little... These peanut butter broad, I don't want to call them stereotypes, but from my own experience, this working remotely thing, it's become, who's coming into an office grinding 14 hours a day?
That's all true, but I feel like the
generational softness that's occurring.
Maybe
the handwritten note comes back as part of softness.
I want to defend the youth of America here because we keep raising the bar, right? It's harder and harder to get into college and get into a good college. It's harder. Kids nowadays, when they play in the sporting world, they're like – they're getting individual lessons in
everyone gets a trophy. Everyone gets a trophy.
Seth, I go out. I see my niece play soccer in these leagues. She's 11 years old. They got coaches. They've got all this stuff going on. It's intense, and they're practicing 3-4 days a week. You're 11 for a Sunday soccer game. I don't remember people doing that when I was growing up, and I wasn't, I'm not exactly 98 yet. And the educational, it's just, the bar just keeps that. There's so much on the plate of the youth, so much pressure.
I don't buy into that.
I'm a little bit of a softy.
I have a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old. I don't think there's a lot of pressure. I think it is what the parents, what kind of environment you raise your kid in, the culture you create in your own four walls. You can't farm out parenting, and the pressure, the culture you create. As a parent, I don't know. You're seeing that from the outside looking in. Do you feel pressure when you were growing up? Did you feel pressure?
Of course. You want the pressure to fit in.
What kind of pressure?
Pressure to fit in, pressure to succeed, pressure of the, I think more so than anything else, as a young guy, I just felt like, oh, my God, this big world out there, how am I going to survive it?
I'm going to give you something now that I've given my kids since they can understand English.
Okay.
Which was probably about 4 or 5 when they would cry or get upset about something or get a bad grade or get bullied. My words of wisdom to them, which my wife didn't necessarily love, was, will this matter, everything, when you're in that situation tomorrow and you get aggravated, will this matter a year from now? Will it matter 2? Will it matter 3? Keep going out until it doesn't matter and put yourself there. Will it matter 5 years from now? No, live in the moment, fellas, ladies, kids.
It's a good one. I like it. I like it.
Really, none of it matters.
Well,
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Enjoy the time on the soil.
Absolutely. On one level, though, none of it matters. And then on another level, almost all of it matters.
Well, there's where your pressure's coming.
People
doesn't matter,
but people want to matter, man. They want to know that they belong, that they're cared for, that they're successful, all that stuff.
Validated. Confuse the things that were creating the pressures. Where I'm focusing on, you were feeling pressure. You were saying as a kid, you see that you think the kids now are having pressure. That's what I'm focusing on. You kind of like you can't worry about the external macro factors. Control the controllables, right? The things you could control, your attitude, right? Control that stuff. You totally own it. You control it, right? That if you do that, like none it. Of the other stuff matters.
I like it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I know you're a big self-improvement guy.
I am. Learn and grow. That's what we're
into. That's what it's about.
That's what we're into here. Hey, play ball. Celebrate with the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today, 312-981-7200. You want to jump in on the overnight. Literally, we got
What does matter is how bad the Bears are right now.
Yeah, that's in there. But we're trying to keep it into the. We'll do some sports.
The Bulls are who's worse?
No, oh, I don't know.
Bulls or Bears right now?
They're both terrible.
But you used to use sports as a place to get away from all the life pressures, right? In Chicago, I mean, the Cubs are the greatest distraction of all time. It almost felt like the year flew by last year, because of how much fun the Cubs gave us.
I'm going to coming around back here, I'm going to tell you something that absolutely positively doesn't matter and is very entertaining and should be enjoyed rather than completely, like, we don't have to close our eyes to. That's the tease. You in? You feeling that? Can you do it?
Yeah.
720 WGN. So we learned a very important lesson in the break. In addition to knowing that nothing really matters versus everything matters, it's also important to know that we're all full of malarkey. There's a word.
It's insecurity drives all these manifests in the weirdest ways.
I literally sprinted out of the studio right to the newsroom and was like, hey, Vic, how are we sounding? We all right here? We good? You're good, man. And I come in here and I'm like, news guy says we're doing okay. Vic says we're cool. And I've never seen a bigger smile. Like, to just get a little bit of a validation that the show is sounding okay, it means everything, doesn't it, Seth? So even though nothing means anything, everything means, you know?
Vic's validation is, honestly,
Dan, we doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know how I am every week during the beat. I constantly crave validation.
Right.
Was that a good booking? Did that production sound okay?
Right. Everybody just wants a little pat in the back.
Is that a gender-neutral anxiety, insecurity thing? Or do you think men are needier? Because I know I'm I have a dog. If I had a tail, I mean, I'd be I don't know. I need to be pet. Petted? Is petted a word?
Touch. You want touch.
Yeah. No. Well, it's look. I just want a connection.
Right.
I want to be liked. As it's the same guy that 7 minutes ago said none of it matters.
Right. Just know that you're full of malarkey.
Well, that's what Ativan's for. It does help with anxiety. There's other things, but I'm saying I'm working on mentally.
We're all working. I just learned something about Dan. I did not know that you sought that level of validation, and I will going forward. I will look for opportunities where to provide that.
Well,
we're growing on the air here.
Let's just call it all out. I think Dan's a human. Dan, are you human?
Last time I checked, yeah.
It's true. People, but people forget about that stuff.
But
I
there's a good example. Will it matter 5 years from now when Dan's looking for the validation?
Well, I think the relationship that you build with the people that you are close with, work with, that does matter.
We're starved for it.
Well, I think.
But you can't let it get
your network is your net worth. People are connecting on the personalized letters. Let's serve. You call the show. You get on the air here. That's what happens. 312-981-7200. What's up, Dean? Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you. Well, I would like to tell you that I'm a dinosaur who still writes letters by hand, and I print a certain way that is very distinct. I believe that when you see a sign, you should be able to read that sign going 60 miles an hour and get it without, kind of a Civil War type sign, if you know that era.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, people tell me that when they get a letter from me, they can look at it across the room and the envelope and tell it's from me. And I put the appropriate stamp. I buy the fancy stamps and I keep different ones on hand. And whatever one is particular, I might appeal to that person, I put that stamp on there.
How old are you, Dean?
Symmetrical.
If you don't mind.
The easiest way to say this is I graduated in 1973. That's okay?
Gradual?
I'm 62 years old.
62. That's beautiful, Dean.
How long is your prime?
Yeah, exactly. You're entering the third, Dean. What are you going to do with your third? This is how I look at it. Like from 1 to 30, you kind of, you know, you're learning the world, you're growing yourself up. From 30 to 60, you're in your money making, working, getting it done. And then from 60 to on.
Losing half your stuff probably around then.
Sure. But from 69, you get to do whatever you want to do, hopefully, if you've done it right. And how can you contribute and give back to the world? One of the ways it sounds like you're doing it, Dean, is taking time to connect with the people and showing that special touch.
Well, I do emails too, but yeah, right now I'm working 6 days a week because I can't afford to retire. So, I have something else to say.
Yeah,
I about 15 years ago I wrote Frank DeFord a personal fan letter, and I copied a story from a baseball magazine that was really well written, very much in the same style of Frank DeFord. If you're familiar with him, you know how he wrote and how he spoke radio program.
Was he the USA Today guy or?
Frank DeFord, he's Sports Illustrated, Real Sports.
Yeah, didn't he start, though, USA Today?
I don't remember the USA Today part, but that's possible.
He predates, he died of, months ago, about a year ago.
Yeah.
But he was the senior sports editor of Sports the Field, and he was voted Sports Writer of the Year numerous times, but he's just an American icon, so. Anyway, I copied this story, and then I wrote a letter, and I used special parchment, this special paper, you know, that's very nice. And it's, you know, and I told him I was a big fan and told him my days at Wrigley Field before the lights went in and Ernie Banks and Fergie were my favorite players and blah, blah, blah. And I mailed it to Sports Illustrated. A week or two later, I get it back. Return to sender, an unknown addressee with the big finger pointing the other way. Well, I knew. So anyway, I did some homework. I found out where he lived. He lived in Green Farms, Connecticut. And I put that with the return to sender inside an envelope. I didn't open it up, so he would know that they sent it back to me. Mailed it to him. About 2 weeks later, I got a handwritten card from Frank DeFord that was so nice. It was his personal, like, index card with his name on it. And he said something like, "Dear Dean, thanks so much for the kind words, and I loved the baseball story." And he recommended two books that he wrote, The Old Ball Game and The Entitled, of course, which I went out and bought and read and enjoyed both. And it's just something you're talking about writing, and what are we going to have to look in the shoebox at 50 years from now? Well, it's all email, and nobody will have anything. I have letters that my dad wrote my mom in World War II, you know, with a stamp of the B-52 bomber on it and victory stuff. And so we're losing something, but there's still a couple of us out there that still handwrite letters, and people always tell me that they appreciate them and they enjoy them.
Dean, thanks for sharing. Happy Thanksgiving to you. It was a great story,
man.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
312.
That is a heartfelt story there. Frank DeFord, handwriting back.
It's a great moment for DeFord. And just for the record, it's also intelligent DeFord. He rewrote him back, made a fan for life. The guy bought his book, the whole thing.
I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words.
5-on-5 game, he good. 1-on-1, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
Stay in your lane.
I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her over there.
I have a great relationship with the blacks.
I don't look over there because she scares me. Well, I'm thinking of Saul right now.
I used to use the word incompetent. Now I just call him stupid.
It's only two dudes better than me, and I'm both of them.
Great job, Dan Long. It's a little LeVar Ball and Donald Trump for you. I did a video on this at FanSide. It's on my Facebook page. And I want to have this conversation with you, Seth, you, Dan, Esmeralda, feel free, and you, 312-981-7200. There's a lot of people that are saying out there, stop talking about Trump. Stop giving publicity to LeVar. And I find it incredibly ironic that the two of them are going at each other now. The master entertainer, promoter, marketer, whatever you want, or maybe is, maybe isn't, in LeVar Ball, and the president, who has a lot on his plate but yet has time to tweet about LeVar Ball. I mean, he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and is sending out tweets on LeVar Ball, which is just, it's just amazing to me. And I just think, like, you know what? There's no sense in doing anything but just enjoy the ridiculousness of all of this. Like, this is the world we're living in. Donald Trump, the real Donald Trump on Twitter, is going at LeVar Ball. How is that even possible? 22 hours ago, it wasn't the White House, it wasn't the State Department, it wasn't Father LeVar's so-called people on the ground in China that got his son out of a long-term prison sentence in bold. It was me. Too bad. LeVar is just a poor man's version of Don King, but without the hair. Just think, LeVar, you could have spent the next 5 to 10 years during Thanksgiving with your son in China, but no NBA contract to support you. Apparently, Donald doesn't know that his son Lonzo is actually in the league.
What's the kid who stole in China his name?
LiAngelo. LiAngelo Ball. One of the great balls.
I mean, what is the story here? There's like 14 stories in here that are just shocking. The first one is Trump going as
But remember, LeVar, shoplifting is not a little thing. It's a really big deal, especially in China. Ungrateful fool.
What president ever would communicate that way? I mean, that to me is definitely bigger than the fact that, LeVar Ball and his son.
Right, you're above LeVar Ball, dude. But
as Michelle Obama, which is a quote I use with my kids, when they go low, we go high. It's one of the great quotes of all time. I mean, it's the anti-Trump. When anyone goes low, Trump goes lower.
Yeah, and I don't even want to, like, get into all that, I completely agree, but it's like,
when they go low, we go high, Mark. So let's not even talk about this stuff.
Right. And that's, I'm saying,
let's move on. Let's talk about John Fox.
Let's just talk. let's talk about the fact that, like, there's I want to have this discussion.
So, you know, it's so disturbing, though.
Right.
The Trump thing is just.
Next tweet.
I mean, you never thought it could be this bad. It gets right when you think it can't get any worse. This guy throws a tweet in LeVar Ball's way. I mean, how much lower can Donald Trump stoop every day? I mean, the guy is this country's a laughing stock because of him on the from the internet as the fishbowl that everybody wants to be in this great amazing country. You know, other countries are chuckling. I do some business in Europe, Mark, as you may or may not know.
I did not know that, Seth.
And have had some business partners from over the pond, specifically in the UK. And I think the UK gets the biggest chuckle out of Trump's behavior.
Well, and like at the end of the day, I mean, I suppose you could make like some argument that the tone and all that matters and it'll play out in a really awful way, but I don't want to even look at that. I just want to just sort of, rather than be all bothered, just enjoy. I'm trying to enjoy the ridiculousness of it.
Everybody has that crazy cousin or uncle or
right.
aunt. You just become numb to and accept.
Right.
You know, otherwise you can't even be in the room with her or him. I mean, I'm sure some for Thanksgiving will be around those types of people. You know, National Lampoon, it was, what was the, Uncle Eddie? Was it Eddie?
Uncle Eddie.
Uncle Eddie.
Right. I love
Trump
Uncle Eddie.
Trump is basically Uncle Eddie. You just hope he doesn't burn down the country with the Christmas lights.
That's Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie.
Uncle Eddie.
That's the best analogy. Like, you know, if you take it for entertainment value, like your wife, like how about the friends you have that your girlfriend, in your case, plural or singular girlfriends?
That would be one girlfriend, Seth. Thank you.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Nice to see you getting in that committal direction.
Thank you.
It's when you have that crazy friend also that your wife can't stand, but you love being around. If you can find that ability to embrace Trump for pure entertainment value, and I know it's hard when that's the 45th president of the United States and you're using him for pure entertainment value, but that's where I'm at with him. I mean, I have no respect for him, but I find him to be incredibly entertaining.
I mean, this one to me just came out completely out of left field. And like 6-3, I was telling you, Trump is awesome. He takes no nothing. Tells it the way it is. Sorry that you're too stupid to get it.
That's coming at our direction?
That's coming our direction. That of course that's coming at our direction. That's why I was trying to avoid like that side of
my
it.
My dad loves Trump.
I don't.
He also loves Archie Bunker.
Great show. I love All in the Family. A lot of people, listen, there's a lot of Trumpies. There's a lot of non-Trumpies. My point is like, there's an argument out there like people don't talk about it. They just want to hear the friendly, heartwarming, positive, good stories. And then I just want to remind, and then they blame the media for talking about this stuff, right? And I'm like, it's rare that I ever want to defend the media because there's so many people in the media that I would not defend. But I do feel the need. Why is Joel Romano here? I do feel the need to defend the media here because they're just, when they're talking about these guys, they're just reflecting your interest. You react to this stuff.
Are they, though?
I think they are.
You got CNN and Fox have never been more divisive, right, ever? In the history of, I mean,
sure.
I didn't really, you know, trying to make a living, raise a family. And since Trump came in, it is so divisive now, the point where you got Fox and CNN, where you can't get a neutral point of view anywhere. Where do you get it? NPR? Here, you get it here, I guess, WGN, right, Mark?
Sure, absolutely.
Kind of gives you a pretty objective viewpoint. You got a mix of points of views here. You don't have to be associated with any one party here. From what I listen to you guys, certainly Hampton, Obradovich, and Kozlowski, and you is what I judge the entire station from. And
thank
I find that to be the most candid, clear. honestly, that is unequivocally the purest Bears postgame show. And I would love to see that show talk about other topics. Those guys talk about it doesn't matter 5 years from now. For them, it doesn't matter 10 seconds from what comes out of their mouth. They are speaking so from the heart. The passion on that show that you run, if we can get more shows like that versus CNN's political agenda with Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper and
love Don
and
Lemon.
Chris Cuomo.
When he gets drunk on New Year's, I'm all in.
Such lefties. And then you got, on the other side of the house, Fox going so hard to the right. You just, you know, it's hard to.
You want a middle grounder.
But my point was that Trump.
Start the middle ground network.
Didn't Trump kind of create all this?
I think he saw an opportunity and ran with it.
Just
and that's what happened.
Appealing. That's, I guess, he exploited my father.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah.
Well,
my mom loves Trump.
The video that I did on
Are there any millennials that love Trump?
Absolutely. I work with one of them. I did this video, Seth. On Trump and LeVar, just saying that you want us to talk about this, and it's now got 14,000 views.
Wow!
My videos normally don't get 14K. Hopefully someday they all get 14K, but normally right now they don't. This one is just making the rounds, and the comments, you know, just both sides firing at each other. And then here it is, like 6-3-0 texting, and it's Thanksgiving. Can we talk about cranberries or something other than the president or politics?
I agree. Totally agree. Love
blood
you,
6-3-0.
I can't even talk. I can't even talk. I wanted to, like...
4-1-4, couldn't go 45 minutes without politics. Trump did the balls a huge solid by turning you off. I think he just called in, by the way, and told us the same thing. So, it's... People say that they don't want it. But it gets reaction.
It's poking the bear.
People, you don't want the car crash, but you stare at it.
It's Mardi Gras. You want the beats. And so you'll lift up the shirt. And then in that case, it's talking about Trump. It's the proverbial lift up the shirt. Everybody looks. Woo! It's Trump. But it agitates. It definitely doesn't do what a president's supposed to do, which is bring this country together.
which is a tall task. Very, very tall task.
Let's not talk about it. I don't even, you know. Okay. Can we talk about John Fox? I mean, let's do something where we can create some healthy pressure. We're not going to get Trump out of office.
I'm not
and
sure.
There's a lot of people that don't want him out of office. And I'm going to stay on the 50-yard line. I love Trump. I actually do. I love him.
You're right on the fence in the middle right now?
I love him. There you okay. Go. The guy's like Ed Obradovich.
My guy, OB. He'll be here Sunday at 3. Along with Hamp and Kaz after the Bears.
What do you want to talk about?
Listen, I got tons. I'll talk about something that
you have a girlfriend, which is amazing.
Oh, okay, hold on. When we come on back here, we'll talk about.
Can you put a picture of your girlfriend up on Twitter? How do you Instagram something for people to understand what's happening in your life?
Oh, settle down. We're not doing all that, but I will talk about a major event that is going to be happening later today.
Is your girlfriend going to be in that?
It's the families meeting the families on Thanksgiving. We're going to do that next.
They're meeting your girlfriend?
Families and families all together on Thanksgiving for the first time. We're going to do that next. 720
wow.
WGN.
You can't go there, Mark.
All right, here we go. 312-981-7200. All right, this is where we bear all here on the old show. So, as people who listen to me every now and then may know, I'm, you know, in the old 40s here, single man. But now, and have had my share of relationships, but now 9 months deep with a very special lady who I care greatly for. And today is Thanksgiving, and so she invited me, over to Thanksgiving, and
to her home,
to her
parents' home,
to her mom's home, right?
Suburbs or city?
That would be a suburb.
What suburb? Just so we can kind of get into this.
Heading north, the old North Burbs.
North Burbs.
I believe we're in Riverwoods, something along those lines. Could be a Deerfield. Not exactly sure. So.
What kind of architecture?
Nice, good lawn. Nice lawn. And so my father, who is, in his 90s, and, I've got one brother who's out of town, the other brother's going to his wife's extended family. My dad was asking me what I was doing for Thanksgiving.
Yesterday or...
Yeah, recent. We don't get ahead of things here in the Carmen family. This is always a last minuter.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Dad, I'm sure you can come, I'm sure you can come to Chelsea's. Do you want to come?
Great name, by the way.
And so he says yes. So then I say, I make the ask, can my dad come? And of course, they're a great family, and yes. But so now... reality hits. This is the first time that they're going to meet Papa Fred in his 90s and the family. And, people don't want to talk politics, but, my dad likes to talk politics. I pray that does not come up tomorrow. So I need strategies here, 312-981-7200. And also just, there's just a lot of anxiety for myself, for my girlfriend, and then the whole thing, the family meeting on a Thanksgiving, a special holiday. How do you keep it, on the road and get through it and whatnot? And there's a lot. It's a big deal on a Thanksgiving here, Seth. Am I making too much here? What do you think?
Well, we're on a radio show, so we're going to try to make something out of it. But 5 years from now, it won't matter.
That's true.
It depends. How into this young lady are you? I mean, on a 1 to 10, that she's a zero chance of listening, and the answer to this question, not getting back to her, and I want you to answer this honestly. On a 1 to 10, now here you are, a 44-year-old man, never been married, been following your dreams and letting your heart lead you the Oprah Winfrey way. You have followed your passion. Here you are on the Holy Grail WGN, one of the great radio stations in this country.
I mean, she's like a 3.5. No, she's it's 10, Seth, 10.
No.
All day. I'm all in, man.
Honestly, are you? Do you see a walking down the aisle here with the whole chuppah and the whole nine yards? Do you take this woman to make you miserable for the rest of your life kind of thing?
I hope that would not be the case on the miserable part.
That's inevitable. Let me just tell you that 5 years from now.
What are you, Mike Leach? Did you see his video, Washington State head coach?
No.
Did you see that, Dan Long? Dude, some reporter's getting married. Ask Mike Leach, who coaches Washington State, what does he think? We had any advice? And he just goes into a 3-minute rant about how first of all, you're making a terrible decision. Second of all,
50 of them
here if you want.
Let's hear Mike Leach.
Well, hold on. Do we need? Oh, we can talk up the news. Yeah. Let's do it after the news because we only got. Well, what do you think, Dan? We'll do it after the news.
Marriage works for a few minutes.
I care greatly that later today goes well, and the last time I had one of these circumstances with my dad, he was invited to I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is David Kaplan. We went there for Thanksgiving.
Cappy's.
At Cappy's.
Outstanding.
And I said, Fred, no politics. Let's not speak it. Getting a call right now?
Yeah, there's a good chance that's a listener that has my cell phone.
Are you really getting a call at 3 a.m. that someone's listening to the show? Is that the wife right now sending? Is it all over?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's my wife. Hold on.
You got a call back? Is it Mary?
I'm going to grab it. On the air, everything okay?
This is a legit moment in time. 2:59 a.m.
Reality radio.
That's how it was back.
I'm pretty sure I forgot to tell her that I was doing the show. She probably woke up wanting to know where the hell I was.
Is that legit?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Just tell you communications. Like, we're talking about handwritten notes. I can't even remind my wife that. Oh, I'm going to do a show with Mark. I went to bed at like 10.
No tap on the just
rolled out, took off.
I got to go deep into this for 1 second here. Did you not tell her because you were worried she'd say no?
For sure.
100%, right?
Yeah. What are you doing?
So
you got to help me tomorrow because we're hosting family.
Now
I'm going to be limping around all day tomorrow with no sleep. And
now you got full anxiety of what you're going to come home to.
Yeah.
She's going to be mad at you.
Right on cue. So telling you how blissful marriage is.
312-981-7200. Help Seth get out of this pickle where he did not tell his wife that he was going to do the overnight show, and now he's going to be home in 2 hours, and she's going to be very upset, and it's Thanksgiving.
She probably just rolled over to punch me in the face, and I wasn't there.
This is a tough moment for you. I'm not going to lie. Well, it's been a rough. This will be a Thanksgiving to remember for Seth. Gonna be a rough coming home today, huh? You're just gonna have to step up. You're gonna have to be an incredible, incredible Seth Marks, and help out in the house. You guys are hosting Thanksgiving today.
Yeah.
And your wife is now very concerned you're not gonna be able to contribute as well as perhaps because you're doing an overnight show.
Well, the show started at 2. It ends at 5. Correct.
That's correct.
I got in bed with her probably at 11.
Uh-huh.
Set my alarm for 1:30 because I live 10 minutes from here.
Uh-huh.
Figuring I'd slide back into bed at 5:12.
Never be noticed.
And never be noticed. I mean, she wakes up freaking out, wondering where I'm at. And now she's blowing up my phone and saying... am I wrong to have just tried to slide out like it was just an extended urination and then go back into bed? she doesn't go running around the house looking for me, when I have an Austin Powers wee for 7 minutes. All of a sudden, she's furious.
Well,
she hasn't texted me this much in a month. In the last minute, here. No. I said, I told you I was going to do a radio with Mark, and I kind of feel like I did. We were eating some pizza. I was like, hey, I might do a radio show with Mark. Like one of those.
So you mumbled it. You didn't really tell her.
Total mumblement.
Yeah, complete mumble. We're just trying to get it out there.
And now she's, no, you said that he asked you to. And I said, this is the only holiday I've ever asked for help with, and that it may not be the best idea for you to be up all night. You never responded after that. I'm done playing your games.
Oh, boy. That's
that'll be a fun Thanksgiving tomorrow.
312-981-7200. If you have help for Seth on how to get out of this pickle. This is a real pickle. This is not radio games here.
Yeah, that's doghouse language right there.
That's
we're done playing games.
Yeah.
I don't...
An hour eight into it, I'm pretty sure. I mean, if I step out of myself, I'll probably plead guilty here. It's hard to defend the old slide out for the 3 hour urination back in.
Yeah, that's communication in life is key, Seth. I think
it really is.
I think you should have told her.
And it's underrated. I wish I wrote a handwritten note.
You didn't. You didn't tell her because you were worried that she would say no.
Correct.
And
that has been a problem of mine my entire life.
Right. And so you know what you, okay, and I think what you just said there your entire life, this is where you made a mistake, jump in here. You
made a mistake.
You did not fight for enough territory early. Hey, I am going to do what I want to do. As far as if I get an opportunity to do the radio, this is something that's very passionate for me. I'm going to take those opportunities. Don't worry about my level of sleep. That's your own anxiety. That's your own concerns. I'm coming to play. I'll get it done. And, I'm going to live my life.
By the way, that's real. Actually, that's a very wise because
you got to do it. It's a territory grab and it's early.
Right. And I work, like I said earlier in the show, for those of you listening at 2:05, I've been following monetary motivation because I have three kids and you and I met in the radio in the early 90s. And there's nothing that I enjoy more from a career standpoint. This is such fun to do this, right? To talk and just have some fun and share some thoughts.
I mean, when do you get an opportunity to do this? You should
when she's sleeping once a year with you, when no one else will do the overnight show. That's when I get it.
Right.
And she's busting my chops. It's not like I do this that often. Just happens to be doing it the night before we're hosting for Thanksgiving, and I definitely will be as useful as Ed Obradovich out of the Bears defensive line today.
You'll be fine. You'll step up. You'll coffee up. You'll do whatever. You'll be as effervescent as you always are. I have complete confidence. I would say
a good chance I go fetal position, sleep in the walk-in closet.
I would say something to be honest. It hurts that you can't be excited for me when I get a rare opportunity to do something that I've always been passionate about, and don't worry, I will come strong, and step up for the family tomorrow. It's hurtful. It is. Flowers, chocolates, a bottle of wine, and a sincere apology from the 630. Maybe she wanted some sexy time, and now you're missing out from the 773. Could that really be what's going on here?
No chance, just because I'm aware of the relationship.
Okay. Well, that was a hopeful text from there.
Zero chance. I would be over there like Jimmy John's and back here if that was the case.
Freaky fast. Steve,
how do I set up a Tinder account?
Hang on, let's get Steve in here. Maybe he has some advice for you. Steve, welcome to WGN. Happy Thanksgiving. What do you got for Seth here? And this is real life concerns.
Well, happy Thanksgiving too. It sounds like you've been. You said you have kids like of 21 years old. So you've been married about the same amount. I've been married 24 years next week. And did I hear you say your wife's name is Mary?
Yeah.
That's my wife's name too. So I feel a connection here, and I have tried to slip out of bed just for the simple thing of I couldn't sleep and I wanted to go in the other room for a couple hours and like watch a late night movie, and then I get the text on my phone, "Where are you?" So this is for something, and I'm actually working now. I got two jobs and I'm driving aimlessly in Indiana over here, because I have a delivery job. So I work overnights too sometimes. This is actually for a job, Seth, right? You're right. Getting paid. You're not doing this for free, right?
Actually, I am. I'm keeping Mark. I love doing it.
No.
But, you know, what could be more fun than talking to you in the middle of the night and Mark? You know, actually, to Mark's point, it's a passion. I love it, you know, and I didn't think from
you're
2
not,
to 5.
Like a little side, no side money or anything?
Nah.
No,
I work 70. Well, I work 70 hours a week at another gig, and
Stevie's got more money than God. Don't worry about the money. Keep
70 hours. I've been working 24 years in the same industry, climbing the ladder in corporate America, working my balls off, and to do this from 2 to 5, to me, it's therapeutic. I love it, and I thought I could slip out. She never bothers me, and now she's all freaked out that I didn't tell her I was doing this when she was just going to be sleeping. So
we have another issue here, though. This is Seth claiming his space and saying, hey, I'm going to the radio show. You might not like it, but you don't even have to say that. I'm going to the show. Sit with your anxiety.
There is a simple solution. Just make sure you're there during the day to help her and drink a lot of coffee
right. Instead
of like taking a nap.
Right.
That's it.
Then she has no excuse because it sounds like that's what she's mad about. Yeah, I want you to help me. Well, I've had to help my wife on Thanksgiving too. So yes, I guess you just have to bite the bullet and make sure you're not tired.
I'm going to be the MVP.
Steve, let's coach you for a second. The next time you want to get out of bed and go watch a movie and have some popcorn at 2 a.m, you get up and you do it, and if your wife doesn't like it, you tell her that that's too bad. I'm doing me right now, and you know you don't need me there for you to sleep. If you can't sleep, then I'm not there. That's a problem.
Steve, ask Mark how long he's been married. Mark, how long you've been married?
Haven't been married, Steve.
That's called happiness. Oh, ooh, what? Can you? You got to dump that, please. No, it's easy for you to say, Mark, but when you're in the trenches, like Steve and I have been for 20 plus years, you know, it's not that easy. You get the WRU on your text. It could come at any time. It's not easy.
I need to throw a caveat in here.
I'm not saying it's easy, by the way. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
My wife and our family is in the process of moving. My wife has been in Florida for 3 months because she got her dream job. So I can slip out of bed anytime I want right now because I'm still back here living with her mother in the process of moving.
Oh, my God. You got the mom in the house? How's that going?
well, it's going better than you think.
Oh, good. Well, that's good, Steve.
Steve, you are a good soul, my man. You are a good soul. You're setting the bar.
Yeah, so when I do finally get down there, she'll be so happy to have somebody laying next to her that I can slip out of bed anytime I want because she'll know I'll be back. She's 3 months away from me for the first time in 20-something years.
No, that's a great point. You know, I used to work in Dallas and live in Chicago, leave on the first flight Monday, come back late Friday, and my marriage was never better from my point of view, right? She was taking care of the kids. I was going to make the bacon, a very old traditional kind of look of the world. She didn't nitpick because we weren't, you know, it was only around for 40 hours, a week. And you know.
So she's probably got a lot of hostility towards you around
around. That was a 16-year run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't admit that this is good for me. I'm letting her tell me on the phone every day or two, I miss you. I'm letting her tell me that. And hey, 720 doesn't, WGN doesn't come through in Orlando, Florida, and she's not up anyway. So she's not going to hear this.
Steve,
you sound happy, so keep doing what you're doing, my man.
Happy Thanksgiving, Steve. Appreciate
it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the contribution. 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Help Seth out. How does he get out of this? And I guess the key question here is, did he owe his wife?
I kind of mumbled it over the
More
pizza.
Than a mumble over a text that you were coming to do the radio show on Thanksgiving when you were hosting Thanksgiving. I'm on your side, man, 100%. But you should have. You needed to communicate. You were in avoidance mode. You're in an avoidance. That's reality. There's a learn here. Donna, welcome to WGN. Welcome, Donna.
Hello.
Hi, Donna.
No woman likes to be lied to, especially in a marriage. of 20-plus years, whether it's lied by commission or omission. And he needs to do some backpedaling real, real fast and apologize. He's in the wrong.
Donna,
can I get your cell phone? I could use way more directness like this more often in my life because I do know that I do need to improve. Mark's been trying to get me to do some self-improvement stuff with him. And I'm not saying I'm right. And I'm not excusing sliding out from 2 to 5 thinking that she wouldn't notice.
Yes, you thought she
would. You were hoping that you'd be able to get away with it.
1,000%.
Yeah. Hey, Donna.
What is it that Manfredini says, a happy wife means a happy life? You're finding out in a very, very real way what happens when wifey is unhappy.
Donna, hold on a second. Let's ask Donna, have you been lied to? I feel like there's some personal stuff going on here. Will you share?
I learned from wife number one's mistakes.
Interesting.
I was wife number two.
Ah.
Wife number one lied to my ex-husband.
Wife number one lied to your ex-husband.
Nothing good it comes from a lie. And it's like my wife's, and I give her the credit. She's got, like, raised our kids, you know, like I'm like the fourth, like I'm like the special teams coach at best. And she's like the head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. And I'm just like, y'all, go, go, yeah.
Soccer while husband was in Texas on an oil rig doing commercials. And when he was in Dallas and when he was in New Orleans. Yes, I know what it's like being a husband-wife team of one.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm around for sure. I never miss my kids'
not
sport.
If you're working 70 hours a week. You're not there for the important decisions. You're not there for the kids getting raised. You're not there for the PTA parent conference day.
Get him, Donna.
You're sick.
Get him, Donna. You got him on the run.
But that's the reality of the marriage. Your wife is a privileged person because she's been carrying this marriage on her shoulders a number of years. Now the kids are probably mostly grown and probably grown pretty well because she's probably been a very able, capable administrator while you've been doing your thing in a marriage. While you've been patting yourself on the back and working your tail off, climbing the corporate ladder.
Well, hold on a second here, Don. I got to defend Seth a little bit here. When you do work that hard and you do provide to the level that Seth has provided, isn't that worth something?
To what cost? Wasn't there a song a long time ago? When are you coming home, Dad?
Donna, I think.
Donna, love you.
You know, this is deep. And
you want to go further?
No, I mean, I would go further. I don't want to. I don't know that I'm emotionally stable enough to go further.
It's also very early in the morning, and you're going to have to get up to carve the turkey and help around the house.
Yes.
To make sure that the ashtrays are all emptied and that everybody's glasses are filled.
My short point of view is maybe there, you know, my wife's side kind of wants to have her cake and eat it too. Like, I'm the guy that has to go, you know, I've never even had the choice to try to follow, you know, my passion.
And there's hurt there. Donna, thank
deep.
You.
It's deep.
Donna, you're great call, Donna.
Mark, I got to leave. I got to go.
Happy Thanksgiving, Donna.
The same to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 312-981-7200. Love to continue this. There's some really great text coming in here.
I need the spotlight off of me, okay?
I don't know.
I did not come here to get completely dissected here.
This is good for you. You're getting actual real value right now. They're real. They're Chicago. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News team weekdays 4 till 10. Normally the spotlight's on me when I do a show with Seth. This is fantastic. 720 WGN. All right, it's out there tonight. Great combo in the break there, too. 312-981-7200. Seth lied to his wife and came.
Oh, come on.
Because Seth did not disclose to his wife that he was coming to the radio show fully. There's one text here that I need to read to you, Seth. If you're just joining us, Seth's I did radio way back in the day. I'm under the weather today. I love doing radio with Seth, and I reached out, say, hey, can you want to come in and do sit in on the show tonight?
20 years ago.
Yeah, and I've always had tremendous admiration for your talent. I thought that you would have, if you had stayed in the business, I thought that you would have been elite, top line, all that. And you chose to be a dad and have a family and
work 70 hours a week and send two kids to college with no scholarship help and
to Michigan and wherever
else.
Keep
my wife happy financially.
Right. And so now you get an opportunity to come to a show tonight, and you're not really being seen for how much.
It's 2 to 5. She's sleeping.
Right. So there's all that going on. But you didn't tell her, which is on you. And here, this is a good one from 312. Hey, Carmen, Loftus here, who's a great, great old school friend of mine, listening to the show, laughing at the story. But what you haven't thought of now, there will be hell to pay because now she's not sleeping, is going to be tired tomorrow, and no matter how much he helps, there will be hell to pay. And there's truth in that, right?
Is that from a female?
Yes, that is a female.
It's amazing how they...
They just know. They just, right?
Yeah. I mean...
She's walking all over the house. Where are you? This, that. She's like...
Just a first... Which is,
I don't get that. Why would you walk around the house looking? Just go... I mean, maybe... What do you think? That somebody... were you kidnapped?
Let me get this crisp and like totally clean. Here's what happened. I'm coming home from work at 8:30 on a Wednesday, which behaves like a Friday because the office is closed tomorrow. That's what time I normally get home. I get to work at 7 a.m. I come home at 8:30, sometimes 9. It's an eat-what-you-kill job that I have. It's kind of commission-based world. I got a kid at Michigan. I got a kid in New York college. I got one on its way to college. I punch above my weight my whole life. I live in a home that's bigger than it should be and trying to create
all this. Another whole thing.
Yeah, but I'm providing, right? I got caught in this. I didn't want to be going 120 miles an hour. It's a deeper thing. Anyways, I've afforded her to, pursue her dreams and all that. I love radio, always have. That's how we met in 95, right, for the most part.
Sure.
It's
where the deepening occurred.
So we're having pizza at 9:30. I bring it up, bring home pizza, sitting at the kitchen island.
Lumel's?
Mama Milano, actually.
Little Mama
underrated
Milano.
In Old Town. by the poorhouse over there. So I say, Mark said, he'll have an open seat for the overnight show. He invited me to do it. She's having a glass of wine. I'm drinking some Tito's on the rocks, trying to get loose. And that was the extent, literally. She did say, we're hosting tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of people over, and, I could really use your help. And I'm thinking this might not go in the direction of encouraging me to do the overnight show. So I immediately seized the subject. She wakes up at 3, the phone's ringing in here, 30 minutes ago?
2:59. Actually, 2:58:46, I was looking
at it. And now, saying, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm walking around looking for you. Where are you? And I'm here having fun. But no, it has not been fun anymore.
Well.
I may never do
choose, you could choose it to be fun.
That's true.
This is your choice.
Will this matter 5 years from now?
Clearly not. all right. It might then. There's also that side of it.
I might have half less, 50% less stuff than I have already.
312-981-7200. Claudia, Rita, Ron, if you're on hold, we'll get you on the air, but we do got to take a quick time out, get the news in here. 720 WGN. WGN, happy Thanksgiving. 3:36 with you till 5. Steve and Johnny are hosting this morning. Who's doing the opening bell there, Dan? Do you know?
No opening bell because there's no markets today.
There's no opening bell. So the Steve and Johnny start at 5.
They start at 5.
Steve and Johnny start at 5, my bad. They'll be here at 5 till 10, 5 hours. Wow, that's a good solid shift right there. Seth, we're talking about him slipping out to do a radio show and not communicating perfectly. And a lot of texts here, Seth. We'll get right back to the calls here. 630, I'm a woman and on Seth's side. He knows that she is a heavy sleeper and, of course, gave that complete consideration. Just by chance, she woke up. He said he lives a few blocks away, wanted to help and hang out with a buddy. That's your...
That is correct.
Mary from Roselle says, you could still help with dinner after your show, so you are tired. We are all tired. Can't pass up opportunities. Thanks. That's from Mary.
Thank you.
And 585 is also on your side. At least he's not at a bar or a strip club or another woman's place. I'd be thankful for that alone. And I'm married with a... I'm married and a wife.
Certainly not out of the question. I mean, I don't want to come off like a saint. Or, you know,
Clearly, I don't think anyone's putting you in saintdom right now.
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
No.
312-981-7200. My name's Mark Carman. This is Seth Marks. We are your overnight entertainment, sitting in for Nick D on your Thanksgiving holiday. Rita, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark and Seth. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving,
Rita.
Rita.
And I think it was, if I were in your wife's place, I would have considered it being inconsiderate to, if you really were going to go to the radio station and had that in your mind, to be more direct about it. And, you know, what if the shoe was on the other foot? What if you were home and your wife slipped out, oh, he's a heavy sleeper, I've got something I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying anything bad, because this isn't bad. I mean, how would you feel? The most important relationship that you have in your life is between you and your spouse, okay? Aside from your children and everything else, I know what it feels like to be married to someone who's a workaholic. I was. I'm not anymore. And...
What'd you do, Rita?
What did I do? Yeah. Well, I ended up divorcing him.
No, but what'd you do for work?
What did I do for a living?
He was the workaholic, or you were the workaholic?
He was the workaholic.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. My bad.
And was it because you pushed him to earn more money because you had a certain lifestyle you wanted to maintain?
No. Okay. No, actually,
well, that's my boat.
I was working full-time. Then I ended up being at home. We didn't have kids. And then I picked up jobs in a little town where we lived in. And I worked for newspapers and got back into journalism, took photographs. I had a weekly column. And then I ended up working for the town government. I mean, I had good experiences. I met a lot of interesting people. It was a different lifestyle. But he was a workaholic. And
was that the tipping point? Just not enough? He didn't focus on the relationship?
He didn't focus on the relationship, and he stopped listening to me. He tuned me out. And so he used the power of earning the buck to remind me, you're not bringing in much money, and I can do what I want.
That is, I from your point of view, first of all, thank you so much, because I do try to, my mom, who, you know, I'm a big, you know, treat others as you would like to be treated is like my guiding principle in life. And also try to look at, put their shoes on, you know, in your mind before you respond, try to understand her point of view. And so I really appreciate you telling me that. The other side of this, though, is that, you know, my wife grew up, you know, in a privileged way, more so than I did, and it has pushed me to become a workaholic, not by choice, very different than your husband. I would love to be in Paducah, Kentucky, in a little overnight radio station following my passion, because that's about the highest market that I think I could accomplish. But also, it's not because I want to work that hard. It's because I kind of got on this track to maintain a lifestyle that my wife was accustomed to.
But you know what? Things go away. I had a different lifestyle. I had a more comfortable life than I have now. I've had health problems since I moved back here, whatever. But let me tell you, I would go out with, when I had been ill and I had to go back out of state to get divorced, and I vowed that if I had a be wheeled into the courtroom in a wheelchair with IVs coming out from every which way but loose, I was going to do it. And the person I am now is very different, and because of my experiences, I've never had a relationship since then. I've been alone a long time, and when someone can be considerate, that's nice. Nobody's perfect, and I think you do. You're doing a lot for yourself and your family. And I will say this to you. I have a friend that is going to enter, I'll say, the third phase of her life, and she's going to be working less and whatever. And perhaps at some future point, you might be able, it might arise for you that you might be able to get into radio, that you'll say, you know what, we have enough here, and we've lived a certain way for X amount of time, and, you know, we can step back from that.
That's the dream.
The only things, I've given up a lot of stuff, but you know what, for myself, I'm released from the burden. I don't have children to worry about. It's a whole other ball game. I know how important that is, and it's important for you to be there for them as a dad and to be there as a husband for your wife. But I think you just missed the ball this time, and I don't think I'd let it happen again. But that's not me. I don't live your life, but I think you're a good man.
Thank you.
We got you, Rita.
You are correct. I'm aligned. We are aligned. I'm not saying what I did was right. I should have told her I was doing the overnight show. There's no question. I was not clear about that.
No. And as long as you'll be whatever assistance you can give her tomorrow and maybe do something she's not expecting you to do.
There you go.
I think that would make a world of difference.
Thank you, Rita. Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay, you're a little too victim-y on the whole. I did all this with the providing and whatnot. You should have grabbed some territory. A little too victim-y for me. Just want to name that. It's all right. A lot going on here. You're doing great, Seth. You're absolutely doing great.
It would never have come had I known this was going to be the subject matter. I was coming to escape the harsh world of volatility called, also known as marriage.
Man, I remember when Mark Carm would fill in overnight. It used to be lighthearted banter.
That's what I came here to do.
Normally we do.
Was lighthearted banter. Talk about spraying saltpeter all over Beverly Hills and Hollywood. You know, like they're spraying the crops to get this.
Sometimes we get a serious topic. I mean, I can't stop a 2:59 in the morning call and not react to that.
Well, your obsession is self-improvement. I mean, personally. You found this self-improvement thing in your life, I mean, and what it's all about. I don't know. Do you go on the radio and talk about it at all?
I've talked many times how I do growth work and believe in, you know, I want a lot for me and for the people I care about.
Right, and I believe that, you know, that's like selling a timeshare. So we're not connected on that view. Like, you actually, like, go to these, rah-rah self-improvement classes?
I wouldn't call it rah-rah. I'd call it a little bit more intense and painful and looking at yourself that people don't want to do.
I so badly need it, can we go off air with this?
we can have an off air. Here's a good text for you, though. Your wife is mostly freaking out because of her anxiety about hosting. Go home, gravel, and suck it up, and doing whatever you can to help her. See, she's got her own anxiety about the turkey. She's trying to throw it on you and your lack of rest. WGN. Happy Thanksgiving. 3:51. It's so much on the rundown here, and you just hijacked the show. It's unbelievable, Seth.
I got a lot of issues, Mark.
It's all right. I'm on your team, man. I am with you. You know what I'm missing today? I'll get back to the calls here and Seth's dilemma in a second. I was supposed to play in my standard Turkey Bowl game. I'm hearing something in my headphones right now, Dan Long. I think maybe your thing is locked. You know, I get the Turkey Bowl 9 o'clock kickoff, and then I get the ask, can you do sports in the morning? So I can't play. I can't play turkey ball today, Seth. No turkey ball football game.
No upside in that.
The turkey ball game.
Yeah.
Do you understand
you want the Achilles blown out? You want?
Do you understand the diving catch I made last year? It was unbelievable. Slung to the corner. I gave it all, and it was an incredible diving catch.
Waddle in Minnesota type of catch.
Yes. And then I separated my shoulder. No lie. Grade one spray.
I say don't do that stuff. I mean, nobody loves sports for me, but there's no upside in it, unless it makes your wife happy. Does it make her happy?
Way to go full circle. I don't hear anything now, Dan, as you're walking in and we do production on the air, but I heard it when you were sitting in there. I don't know.
I was getting it, too.
I
actually think it was me playing an Instagram video.
Were you playing an Instagram video?
I was videoing this.
Do you know that we're on the radio? No Instagram. Yeah. These microphones, they're professional microphones.
It's not
WCBR Tim Deesa situation.
So you're doing radio at 9 a.m. also tomorrow?
I'm rolling all the way. I don't get to go home with you at 5. You have to go home by yourself.
So you're taking a 4-hour gap?
No. I start doing sports updates at 5.
Oh, updates?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Until 9?
Until 9.
And then what do you do?
Then I sleep. And then I bring my dad to my girlfriend's and have all sorts of anxiety. That's what I do. I'm going to pick him up.
9 months in. Are you guys living together?
I wouldn't say we're living together, but I would say we're living together. I stay there, but I still have my life. I still got the old place.
You go to her place?
Yes.
More than she goes to yours?
We never go to my place.
Is that from you controlling the culture of that dynamic?
She loves her place. And she's got a great place. And it's a better location and all that, so. I'm good.
That seems like a good dynamic. So you can just pop out. When you leave, and she's sleeping, do you tell her you're leaving?
Like tonight, I gave her a hug and a kiss, and she said, "Have a great show."
At what?
Which was not
a little different than my dynamic.
Yeah.
That's a tad different. Mine would be, "Where the F are you going?" That's why I didn't tell her.
I felt very supported walking out the door today. And I got to tell you,
Well, that support doesn't always last, you know. That's my whole point. Like, how do you know if that... You know, they always say the honeymoon's over. How long can the honeymoon last? You know, that whole dynamic of, I love you, honey. You know, I support you, honey.
That's why we got to drive a car very hard beforehand and claim your territories and what you're about and know what you're signing up for, man.
Well, do you think the support she's giving you now is something that would be there 17 years from now?
I really do, actually. I do.
Really? Has she been married before?
Nope.
How old is she?
She's 31.
And you're 44?
That's correct. 13-year spread. Perfect with my maturity level. It evens out.
Well, I think you're below 31, honestly, don't you? Maturity-wise?
Overall? Maybe if we're going overall, then I'm at 17. I'm not doing the overall.
Honestly, where do you?
I think that I'm the maturity level of my age, but I think I have the youthful vigor of an 18-year-old. That's why I like to play it. The drive down the lane the other day.
You're still playing basketball too?
Yeah, the lefty layup. Come on,
it's amazing. You're very active.
I mean, when you
doesn't make you mature though.
No, I didn't say. Clearly didn't say that part. Activity.
I mean, if we read the text messages that you and I were throwing back and forth before the show when you were saying...
We're not going to do that.
Okay, the maturity level of those text messages is why I came to do the show, because I love being immature with you. And then
Adam Phillips, our engineer, just came in just to look at you, to see what you look like after all this conversation. He needed to see you. Legit, I'm telling you, that dude just came in to see you.
Oh, because he's married. Are you married?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
He had to see, like, is this guy legit? Yeah. Is this really happening?
Well, I mean...
Phillips, I'm assuming you enjoy the show. Yes, very much so. There we go. I love you.
It's real as real can get. We were just talking about in the break, like we were texting all different types of subject
literally,
matters.
I've done a zillion shows here. He's never come in to see anything. He came in to see you like you were a zoo animal.
He came in, you know what, he came in to see the before picture of a guy who's about to get his ass in a ringer the entire day at Thanksgiving and be miserable.
No, you're going to have a great day. I got a vision of a great day. Esmeralda,
I'm not even going to get eye contact.
Esmeralda, are you listening to the show?
Yeah.
Can you help Seth out? Do you have a thought on all this? Have you been paying attention at all?
He's completely in the wrong. Why would you not tell her where you're going? I'm just going to say, this is what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking, oh, she wants to siphon anything. Oh, this, oh, that. She literally woke up and wondered, where were you in the middle of the night? Like, think about that. Like, any bazillion possibilities probably ran through her head.
Like
you could be murdered in the downstairs. Who knows? Because you disappeared in the middle of the night. Where she's supposed to see you is, like, right next to her sleeping. You were gone completely, disappeared without a trace from your home.
Why couldn't he have been reading a book in the closet?
No, you're 100% right. You are 100% right. And the reason I didn't crystallize, I did socialize it over pizza that I might go with Mark and do overnight, but I didn't validate it, was because I thought she started talking about how she's got this huge day of hosting Thanksgiving, and I thought I would be sucked into not being able to go. And I didn't want to hear no because I love doing this so much. So I just slid out.
Coaching on
that. Your mom?
Ooh.
Does she have to tell you yes or no you can go somewhere? Like, what kind of... but that's weird.
No, I'm nodding my head. You're yes. Yes, you are correct. You know, this is not a perfect marriage by any stretch. Some serious... I mean, anybody tells you marriage is perfect is, you know...
This is a great learn and grow right now.
Israel, you are so on the money.
I mean, I'm just, the big issue to me is not that, oh, you're not going to help me later. It's, where are you? Have you been murdered? Because I don't know. You disappeared.
Yeah.
So Esmeralda, you're somebody that, like, you need communication. You need clarity.
I'm wrong.
I mean, it's not the middle of the day. It's not like, oh, I popped out to go get coffee. It's like, what are you doing at 2 in the morning when you're usually sleeping?
This is a little surprising to me, though, because, like, you do overnights, you take the bus home at you know, it's dark outside. You don't seem like there's terror, you know, lurking around the corner type Esmeralda.
Because I know where I'm going. My boyfriend knows where I am. Like, if my usual routine was to be in bed at this hour, and I didn't say a word about going anywhere or doing anything, and he wakes up and then he doesn't see me or in the house? Like, what are you supposed to think?
I thought, you know, I mean, there was a lot of good momentum for me to slide out. I saw an Ambien go in her mouth at about 10:30. I kid you not.
Oh, so then she has, like, hallucinating that she doesn't see you then.
Yeah.
And then probably freaks out on your house.
She, you know... The odd thing is, like, she really doesn't ever bother me ever, like... You know, which, so I don't know. I mean, it's weird.
Yep.
I'm so starved for affection, and then this happens.
Well, and then there's the other side. Well, I think that rewinds back to the anxiety around a Thanksgiving and a lot on her plate, and where are you, and I need support, and you're not here, and oh my God.
Yeah, it was all about her at the end of the day, in my opinion. I'm starting to see your view, Mark.
Thank you.
The end of the day, it should have been, honey, I'm so happy that you are following your passion from 2 to 5 a.m. for free with your old buddy Mark having fun. I'm so happy for you. I woke up, saw you weren't there, remembered the pizza that you said you might do this. Oh, my God, am I happy you're fulfilling your passion.
I wish you
That didn't happen.
I wish you would have told me. I'll listen to the whole show. We'll both be tired together, and we'll still have a great...
Not even that. Just, I'm so happy you got to do some fun from 2 to 5 while I was sleeping.
Oh. It's all right. It's all coming out. If you're on hold, I'm sorry, Claudia and Lindy. That was we'll get you after the 4 o'clock news, which is coming right now. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. As much as Seth is desperate, he really, really, really wants to move on. But it's just too good.
No, but you told me during the break I should go home and tell her you should support me for being happy, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I think there's a conversation to be had here.
I don't know. That you know, that was what you were telling me during the break, that I should really set the rules, go home. I mean, married 22 years.
I don't know about – I just
– I'm Al Bundy.
Have an honest convo. That's all I'm saying. WGN, happy Thanksgiving. You want to share any Thanksgiving traditions?
What are you thankful for, Mark?
I'm thankful for this conversation tonight, Seth. Thankful for the goodwill of the people that I get to work with at WGN Radio, like Dan Long and Esmeralda Leon and Vic Vaughn, and the people that I see when I normally work. We rarely get to do the overnight show. I always love getting the chance to sit in for Nick D. Esmeralda got me a gift for my birthday this year. She got me some Fiji water. Remember that, Esmeralda? Little Fiji?
Well, that was a group effort.
That was a group effort. Yeah. Dan Shagrew really gets the majority of the credit there. What Esmeralda really was saying is, like, I wouldn't have gotten you a gift, but he did. So I guess, you know, I wouldn't have gotten me a gift either. Believe me.
Part of why I'm here tonight after climbing the corporate ladder for so long, started in radio for fun in the early 90s.
Right.
And you never left. It stayed true to your passion and your heart. And I went and followed, you know, the financial side of the world. And is the people in radio. They are, honestly, they're the most genuine. They're great. They're warm. I mean, I've never met, and you've been in it long enough where you'll meet anybody, you know, in any industry that ultimately, but in my brief time in radio, they were the most genuine, authentic people that, you know, that was what I was attracted to, I think, part of it.
I think the main thing you were attracted to was the microphone, and it was like crack cocaine for you and people hearing you. And you just wanted to be seen and heard and loved and laughed at. And the people had nothing to do with it, but then you found out that the people were great, except for the ones that weren't.
100%. 100%.
I mean, we're all egomaniacs who want to do this. I want to sit on the microphone and have everyone hear me.
There's something of that for sure. That's the motivation. I was the youngest of three. I mean, when you go deep into that, you were young. Ironically, you were the youngest of three, right? Or four?
Youngest of four, yeah.
Yeah. So no one ever heard you until you had a microphone, and you're like, all
right,
now what am I
doing? Now I can shout. I mean, Esmeralda's got a huge ego. Every time you
Esmeralda, were you the youngest sibling?
I am. I'm the baby.
Here you go. Look at this. I think we just found a pattern. I mean, I think we could press release that we find that people in radio were there's a huge who's the guy that did the Outliers book?
Don't know that.
Malcolm Gladwell, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Don't know that book.
Statistically, radio people are the youngest sibling. I bet you it's a very disproportionate amount because they've been muted their whole life until they got to radio.
Dan Long, where do you land?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, how many brothers and sisters over there?
I just have a younger brother.
How old is he?
He is 20.
Wait, Dan, do you want to be on this side of the glass, though? Is that the goal?
Eventually, yeah, that would be the goal, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, Dan Long. Okay, Dan Long, I see you. Vic, I think that you're the oldest, if you're listening in there in news. I know you're busy.
I think I might be.
Yeah, see?
You mean in my... I thought you were talking about here.
In the sibling...
I'm half listening and half writing. You mean in my family, my siblings? I'm a middle child, so that blows up the whole theory.
Yeah, okay.
Voice of reason.
Well, I was just going.
Voice of reason.
However,
given the news,
I'll add, I got into this because I like to write the news and ended up in front of the microphone. So maybe your theory is right, Seth.
Well, interesting.
And you've got like the most interesting path of anybody going, right? You've been in the military. You were the president of the United States at one time, or so. What have you seriously, like a brief thumbnail? What have you done? What's your career path?
It's hard to brief. It's very hard to do, Mark. You're right. I have a lot of life experience. I've been around the world a little bit, and some of it was in the military. Some of it was as a contractor working, you know, being paid by a company out of Dubai to do military operations. So different life experiences. I've also done other crazy jobs, like when I was going through broadcast school. Paid for my schooling as a garbage man. I mean, yeah, I've had a...
You're awesome, Vic.
My life's all around there.
I'm a big fan. You know that.
Married?
I've been married. I'm divorced. And I'm now in a very, very, just a wonderful relationship with a woman that actually hails from Wisconsin, and we've been together 5 years almost.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Kids?
Seth's running in there right now.
Have great kids.
College?
They're not college yet. They're in high school age. He's a freshman actually. But great relationship with them. Good relationship with their mother. Good. I said not great. There's a reason we're divorced.
Would you have if you were in the situation where you were working one of your corporate? Would you have slid out from 2 to 5?
Think that Mark has a good point.
Thank you, Vic. Which one was that?
There should be a conversation. But I definitely agree with Esmeralda, too, I think your partner probably would be a little concerned to wake up and find you not there. So maybe there was a lack of consideration for her feelings. But at the same time, a little conversation should clear things up. And I think you got to follow your aspirations.
Text line, by the way, right now, 847. Who's the man on now with Mark and Vic? I've never heard the voice. His name is Seth, 630, texting, Seth somehow turned out to be the star of the show. You got to go. It's all over. Can't give you any more airtime.
By accident, star of the show, like LeVar Ball, the dad. I mean, I was like, I guess I don't even know why I said that.
No, Seth is a star. I'm
not a star. If a guy that's dreading going home at 5 in the morning is the star of the show, you don't ever want to be that star.
Vic, you're the man. Appreciate you.
Love you, Mark.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
219 says, damn straight, Seth. This is Steve from earlier this evening. Thank you for still listening, Steve. And our wife's first name isn't the only thing we have in common. Don't let Esmeralda or any other woman tell you you're completely in the wrong. I'd estimate you're about 58% in the wrong. That's still 42% that's not in the wrong. And you can easily make up for the 58% by helping your wife during the day, and then she has nothing to be mad about. End of story.
42% puts you in Cooperstown. That's
right.
420 batting average.
That's exactly right. Claudia, thanks for being so patient. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Claudia. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right, Seth and Mark. Here's my story on this little debacle you're in. And initially what you should have done is told her, you know what, this is my passion. It's only 3 hours. As soon as I get home, don't worry, I will help you. And now you've established that you've heard what she said. We've got people coming to the house. I need your help. So you've established that you've understood her, you've heard her. This communication is the best, you know, of any marriage or relationship you're going to have. So you've established that, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go do this for 3 hours. I'll be back at 5, and then I'll help you. Now you've established that. So if she says no, at least she knows, you know she's heard you, what you want to do. When she wakes up, she's going to know, oh, you know what, he probably went, but I know he's going to come and help me when he gets home.
Claudia, all true, but here, hold on. I want to get your take on what can he do now. How does he move it forward from here?
He's screwed. He's gonna have to help her. I mean, no matter what, he's going to have to, you know, kiss butt the whole day. You know, it's probably going to take a little bit of time for this to get resolved. So don't think it's going to happen right away. It's not.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to start serving her wine the minute her eyes open.
I'm sure I would too. Now, the other part of that is when you were talking about working the 70 hours, that kind of hit home because my father, when I was younger, I was in sports and he worked 70 hours a week because my mother was a manic depressive. So he was constantly working. But you know what? What really is the best part is that he came to all my events. He made time for that.
I did.
So I understand.
I did do that.
You know, I understand what you're saying about you want to work and you want to give them everything. You got two kids in college and the other one going to be there, you know. But being there for them is really more important in a lot of things. Kids really respect that.
No question about it. And
thanks, Claudia.
Appreciate you
being so
much.
Patient. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I part of why I work so hard is to have that flexibility to be there when my kids had things that, you know, I never missed an event.
Yeah, and you love that stuff. It's what.
You were above
average superstar. Loved sports. You always played sports.
As I get older, like my dad went to all my, you know, I love basketball and football, played it in high school, as you know. My dad went to every single one of them. And as I get older, I realize this really doesn't mean you're a good parent. You know, I mean, if you're going to something that you also love, like if you're going to your kid's, like, dance recital and you don't like it, that's being a good parent.
Did you go to those?
Yes, hated them. No, that's when you realize, oh, when's this thing going to be over? And then you guys say, oh, that was amazing. You know, that's when you're channeling good parenting. But when you're going to your kid's football game or basketball game, how hard is that to do?
Well, good point.
Just showing up should only give you, like, barely 1 point.
I think it's
creating an emotional connection in with your kids. Like, I don't know.
That's a great one. You just hit on a winner there. It's not just being there. What is the connection? How are you?
My dad hasn't said he's proud of me in about 50. I'm not sure I ever recall the, hey, son, I'm proud of you.
Well, That's a conversation
can
you
we
should
dump
have.
That too, please, quick. Can we dump that?
You should have that conversation too.
I say it to my kids all the time because my dad never said it to me.
Listen, when
created issues, which if you really wanted to connect the dots, might be while I bailed out of bed from 2 to 5 without saying anything. I don't even know why it's connected to that, but I guarantee you if you went deep into this.
Because you don't think you matter. That's how it's connected. And your dad didn't make you feel like you mattered. So it doesn't really matter if I'm here or not. I'm just going to go and do my thing. I don't matter.
I got real.
You like that one?
Yeah. I got, man, my wife issue is like popcorn compared to my dad issue.
Well, there's conversation that needs to be had there. Now, that's
next year's Thanksgiving subject.
That's another show. We'll be here.
And I call my dad live on the air. Hey, Dad, I'm on radio right now. Are you proud of me?
Okay.
I felt like Rudy Rudiker, like just at all times with my dad. You're 5 foot nothing, son. You get all C's. You aren't half what your brothers are. Your brother went to Georgetown. Your other brother went to UCLA. You went to Arizona. True story.
/ Long Beach State. It's amazing that you've.
No. Just call it out, though. Like, you know, I mean, I have been a CEO, a CMO. I mean, I have climbed the ladder. Haven't got, I'm proud of you.
Well, I think that's a call that we should make actually right now, but we're not going to do that right now. You should do that later today. Dad, happy Thanksgiving. By the way, you could start it like that. Hey, guys, for Pete's sake, it's a turkey dinner, not the inaugural ball. If she can't get it on the table after 20-plus years, she needs to quit taking Ambien. My husband is better off keeping out of the way when I'm getting it together.
I kind of just tuned out because I thought you were reading an ad the way you just flung into that. So you're actually reading.
I actually marked it on the log as the beginning of the live read.
Are you reading a mattress commercial or was that?
My bad.
Please start that over.
I apologize. Text line 312-981-7200. Also our phone line if you want to shake mine. From the 224, my bad. Hey, guys, for Pete's sake, it's a turkey dinner, not the frigging inaugural ball. If she can't get out of the table after 20-plus years, she needs to quit taking Ambien. My husband is better off getting out of my way while I'm getting it together. I've got 25 people coming, no biggie.
Wow.
Well, that's you, 224. You know, some people have...
I love that. Yeah. Come on now. That's fantastic.
Seth screwed up at
2:59. Let me give her my wife's cell phone number.
Also from the 630, Seth screwed up at 2:59. Way to know the exact time when the call came through. When he got the call, she said, I told you I was leaving when I got out of bed, and you said, okay, you must have been asleep. You didn't realize it. Oh, that would have been a good one.
Ambien.
That would have been a good one. I gave you a hug. Now we'll go deeper into the lie. But
that's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, it's sellable. It's buyable. Like, I mean, you could.
You got a shot.
I'm sure Trump has these conversations all day. How do we,
You said I could go. Are you kidding? We had a deep discussion about it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had full-blown mad sex. You've always said we could have sex if I didn't wake you up.
Linda.
That's a true thing.
Good morning, fellas, and happy Thanksgiving.
What's up, Linda?
Okay. Well, I kind of picked up when that one young lady was calling and saying about her husband being a workaholic and how she had her different jobs and that, and they didn't have anything in common anymore. And sometimes, while I was kind of the workaholic in the family, I wanted to make sure the boys had good educations and stuff, and I worked to pay tuition and that. My husband wasn't kind of interested in that stuff. And I worked shift work, and there was many a times I got out of work at 8 o'clock in the morning of Thanksgiving Day. And I had to have stuff prepared kind of a couple of days before so that when I got out, got home, I was able to stuff the turkey and whatever. And my mom was a widow, and I had 3 younger brothers still yet that were just a few years older than my oldest.
You're a star, Linda. I apologize for cutting you off here, but I'm getting the word that upper management is going to come down if we don't take a break right now. If you hang in there, Linda, we can finish that conversation. 720 WGN. 428. Linda, I feel like I cut you off, and you'd waited on hold for like 48 minutes. So, Linda, welcome back in here for your final advice to Seth, as Seth is We've been cuddling during the break. It's been nice.
Well, you know, and I had gotten a little off of this, but the thing of it is, people don't realize maybe the person is working all these hours to try and give his family better. I don't know if his wife works or not, but she should stop and count her blessings. She has a husband that will do that, that she doesn't have to do all that extra. And he should have told her, hey, hon, you know, I'm going to go tonight and with my friend and do a radio program for about 3 hours. I'll be home. He could take a nap when he gets home. What, he gets home at, let's say, 6 o'clock?
I don't think he's going to need a nap after this one.
5:30, I'll be home.
Okay. Well, then you can lay down and take a nap for a couple hours, or else stay up and do a few things and then take a nap before everybody comes. It can be worked in there. But she should stop and think, hey, if she's not working, she's not contributing to help out with things, maybe he's putting all those hours in to get away from her mouth.
Thanks for the support, Linda.
And I was married 43 years.
And you got a mouth on you, Linda.
Linda, you are salt of the...
I'll tell you, it can go sometimes. But I told my boys, never pass up overtime or a chance to make extra money, because you don't know. You can wake up this morning and there will be no job there.
No one ever regretted doing too much overnight radio.
Linda, enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Do what you really like to do. And if your wife starts giving you crap, say, hey, honey, that paycheck can always stop.
Linda, you're the first two-part call in the history of WGN Radio. You were worth it. Thanks.
Linda's okay. Wisdom. Linda's wisdom from 4:28 to 4:30. Every Thanksgiving.
The Advice Show.
630 texting, and this has been riveting radio. When is Seth's next appearance? Got to hear the rest of the story. Well, I'm here doing overnight tomorrow night, which is now, tomorrow night, whatever. The next overnight show, I'll be here. Seth is welcome to come in. I love to have you. We'll see what happens. I don't think you'll be here, but maybe you will.
Talk to your program director. I'd love to do the 2 to 5s every Thanksgiving.
There we go. Well, we'll get a we can get a confirmation.
Any
all right,
Christmas night? Any chance?
Possibility. Maybe we'll do New Year's together. I'm sure the wife would love that. Where are you going to be at midnight? I'm going to be making out with Tom on the radio.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a lot of availability, Mark, if this escalates in the direction I'm thinking it's going.
Discussion continuing during the break. Seth basically attacked me saying, see, you don't want to do radio with me because I take up too much real estate and you're not secure enough to be, not the star. And then And I said, hey, man.
It's not about the star.
I just want to be on a great show, period. I'll give up real estate if you're worthy of giving up real estate to. And you, sir, are worthy of giving up real estate to.
I'm just saying, I think we make good music because we've known each other for so long. It's so genuine. We have so many issues that other people might not manifest on the air like we do. Whether it's you talking about being 44 and never been married and all that, your insecurities of me being married for 23 years and just trying to make a living and keep my family, in a certain lifestyle and giving up all my passion and dreams so they could follow theirs. And then my dad never saying he's proud. Oh, there's so many years. But we've known each other for so long. And during the break, I have felt recently that you haven't invited me to do radio shows because – I just, I didn't want to even go down that road with you.
Oh, okay. Well, number one, I appreciate you bringing that to the front here. I have had less overnights, and also, I don't have. It's like I don't run the radio station either. There's that.
I'll take a podcast. I'll take a podcast.
Come on,
you came. When I moved back to Chicago,
I'm doing a regular podcast every Wednesday on the Mark. It's subscribed on iTunes. You are welcome on it all the damn time, and.
I
tend to record it on a Tuesday.
Can like I sell sponsorship? Before. I think I can get a sponsorship.
Yes, you can. Yes.
I think I can get Ambien.
You very much can. I mean, and then, excuse me, and then the 815 texting, when does Seth get his own show? Very funny. Now, kicking me off the radio?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do that.
How's Daryl Hall doing alone?
Right.
How's John Oates doing alone?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's certain guys, like, I would have zero chance. Like, if I didn't have your energy, your honesty, Mark, and I've been telling you this, because I'm a geek with radio. I listen to it when I drive. I'm in the car an hour. I live in the city, work in Northbrook, and it's bumper to bumper. I've worked at Hoffman Estates. You know, I've worked in Itasca.
Well, that's another thing, too.
I do turnaround kind of corporate stuff.
And you're not, with all due respect, and I love you greatly, as you know, you're not the most reliable. You got so much going on in your life that you can't. It's hard to lock down a time. We're going to do this every week. I'm the same way, too. I got two jobs and everything else going on.
But my dream, just like I was at Donna, I forgot who it was. You know, my target I'm shooting at is optimize my income, do everything I can in my peak earning years, like you described. I'm in that middle third right now.
Right.
And be able, once I've educated my kids and done everything I can to help them reach their potential intellectually, academically, emotionally, then me say it's about me finally. And whether that radio station's in Eagle River, Wisconsin, Paducah, Kentucky, or right here with you, that is, I got 10 more years of earning, and that is what I'm shooting at. So that keeps me going.
I don't think you need to wait for that. You can do that. You can be doing that incrementally more right now. And I also, you know what I also appreciate too, by the way, just the way what you're talking about, you've coached me a gazillion times. And I feel like we're at a level of rapport where I'm doing the same for you at times now. So that feels nice to me. Like there's a mutual coaching going on.
People
here
that stay
rooting for
true to their dreams are few and far between. And I'm one that, you know, didn't. I had to channel my passion in making money, you know, in corporate America. I didn't grow up dreaming about that. Okay, grew up dreaming about maybe doing what we're doing right now. But you stayed true to your dreams. Do you know how much respect I have for that?
You do love me for that one. I appreciate it. You know,
but it's one thing when you see someone who wants to like be a singer and they stink, and you're like, there's a reason your dream's not coming true. Your voice is horrible, right? Someone has to give them the harsh reality.
People tell me that.
No, you are because because I listen to radio. My point was that I listen to so much radio. You're the most genuine guy in radio. It's just like Lou Kanellis. Lou Kanellis to me is the best TV guy because he oozes Chicago. Like when he's in the locker room after the Cubs clinched, you could see he was as happy as us watching.
Feel uncomfortable just being compared to Sweet Lou, one of the all-time greats.
I love him and you.
Another guy who followed his passion. Let me get Taxi Driver Bob in here. My guy, love you, Taxi Driver. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to call you, you know, get through after you gave your life advice to your friend over there.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. But I know I'm going to be in a tryptophan or tryptophane or whatever coma tomorrow night. So I figured I'd call you now to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And also, what do you think about Urlacher making it into the Hall of Fame the first go around?
Yeah. Taxi Driver, happy Thanksgiving to you, man. Really appreciate the loyalty and all your calls. And Urlacher in the Hall of Fame. I think there's a little provincial.
Where's the hesitation? What do you hesitate? You don't see him. He's. I was just. Better question. Who's better, Urlacher or Singletary?
Singletary.
Not even close. Urlacher. Urlacher had no D line. Singletary had Hall of Famers. How many guys in front of Urlacher are going to go to the Hall of Fame? Zero.
Listen, Brian.
How many guys in front of Singletary are in the Hall of Fame? Dan Hampton,
give me your top
Richard
five.
Richard Dent,
top five Bears linebackers all time. Go in
Ryan
order.
Urlacher.
You think Urlacher's better than Singletary? Better than
100%.
Better than Dick Butkus.
Urlacher went sideline to sideline like a free safety at 6'4", 230, blowing guys up. Now he degenerated towards the end. He got a little step slow, but in his prime, Brian Urlacher was the best. He was the Ray Lewis at that time. He had a moment of 6 or 7 years, and he played, what, 12?
I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I just think he gets
You hesitated, so there's
I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I just think he gets a little there's a little too much Chicago love for him.
Oh, it's all because of the hair billboards. As a football player, he was the best linebacker the Bears have ever had.
I think Otis Wilson doesn't get enough
credit.
I love 55.
Otis Wilson,
love 58 too.
Wilbur Marshall, and Mike Singletary were beneficiaries of the greatest defensive line in the history the NFL.
No question. 99,
that ball
76.
Was coming out like beach balls, and the secondary could have. You and I could have played in the secondary because when you have Dan Hampton getting to the quarterback, Steve McMichael, Richard Dent, William Perry, they all commanded a double team. Linebackers were floating around free. Like, so all you had to do is be in the right place versus Urlacher, who had no D-line in front of him, had two guys coming at him. You're watching film the whole week. All right, we're going to throw a guard at Urlacher. We're going to throw a tackle at Urlacher. You got to get Urlacher out of the play. Singletary never had that. Wilson never had that. Marshall never had that.
I'm playing this tape for Hamp on Sunday just to make you guys friends.
Dan Hampton commanded a double team.
Dan Hampton.
William Perry commanded a double team. Richard Dent, you had to chip block him and single block him, right? I mean, Steve McMichael was unblockable at times. Those linebackers had a field day as a result.
It was in my opinion.
My wife just changed the locks.
Did she text to tell you? That's unfortunate. You're welcome.
No, as I'm talking Bears, because I really came here to do that. Next thing I know, I'm fighting to save half my stuff.
It was the greatest football team of all time, and I believe in your marriage. And Julia wants to talk about my dad. That's what we're doing today. We're all over the map. What's up, Julia?
Hi. I wanted to know, I really enjoy your show very much, and I wish we could get you on the overnight more often.
Thanks, Julia.
I think you make a good talk show. I want to say about your dad that you should count your blessings and be happy to take him with, because to have a 90-something-year-old dad is such a blessing, and I would let him talk whatever he wants, politics or whatever. I had my grandma with me till her 90s, and I really miss her, so I wish, you know, she was still here with us, and I just want to say that I think it's amazing that you have that blessing in your life, so really just, you know, respect him and, you know, be happy that he could, you know, be part of your life and take good care of him. So that's the way I feel about that. And then for Mr. Seth, I think I want to say to you that you should have told your wife you were leaving. No excuses. But I just wanted to say you can still make it right. I think you should go out and buy your wife a dozen roses and a nice card, and I think she'll forgive you.
Julia, great call. And
I'm not finished.
Oh, keep going, Julia. Your show. Go ahead.
I want to say from one of your shows that you had done, I think it was maybe last year, I enjoyed you were talking about your bar mitzvah, and I think it was with Kathleen, and I don't remember who else, but it really was very interesting to hear.
What did I say about my bar mitzvah, Julia?
Whatever, you were just comparing notes with everybody, and I just thought it was cute.
Yeah.
And I just want to say one thing. You know, people get stressed out about Thanksgiving and all that stuff, but, like, we do this every week for Shabbat. We always have to prepare, like, big dinners, and so we're kind of used to this.
There you go.
So have a good Shabbat.
You too, Julia. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Got you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Thank you, Julia. Hold on. I had so many reactions to what was going on right there. Number one, okay, on my dad. That was actually
That was good advice.
I got to, whatever happens at this thing, it's fine. And
let him loose. Yeah, let him loose. Sure. Doesn't mean encourage him to go pro-Trump bananas, but but let him loose.
He won't do that.
Don't hold him back.
Hey, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And my dad's my biggest fan, and he's 91.
Has he told you he's proud of you?
He has.
Literally? In what decade? Recently?
Yes,
he has said he's proud of you.
Yes, but
for following your dreams, proud of you for what? For not getting arrested, proud of you for
that. You've done a ton, all that type of stuff. Now, by the way, I created that conversation just so you know that you can do it too.
So he never voluntarily came to you and said, "Son, I'm so proud of you for chasing your dreams, working at one of the great radio stations in the world."
I mean, he
never said it.
No, I think
you
did.
You pulled it out of him. Is it a real proud of you if you created the conversation?
Well, it is because I wasn't like actually going for that, and that's how it came. Like I was expressing whatever I was expressing.
You did a Columbo proud of you routine?
Sort of, kind of. I mean, I wasn't trying to get – I wasn't going for that. I was just trying – I was going for a deepening of relationship, and then it got to him saying some really nice things, and that was, you know, that was a little tearful moment.
We need to go off here. I need deepening of a relationship with my dad. I absolutely need it.
We can get this done. All right, real text or not real text? You're 452, Stephen. Johnny, who, of course, used to sit in this seat for many, many, many years, coming up here at 5. I want to know if you think this is a real text here, Seth, from the 815. Carm, please make this a podcast. I had to take a shower and get rid of the horse smell and miss part of the show. Then I can listen to it in the barn. Thanks. Is that real?
Yes.
Is somebody want us to podcast this show so they can listen to it in the barn, and they literally were just cleaning the horses and had to take a shower? That's amazing. I love you if that's true. I don't know if I believe that.
Why wouldn't you?
It's hard to make.
That's too genuine not to believe.
What do you mean you had to take a shower to get rid of the horse smell? I don't understand.
He was working in the barn.
He was working in the barn doing the horses
right? He jumped in the shower.
Doesn't the horse sleep at this time of night?
Well, you also need to clean the horses.
You clean them at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning? What do you know about horses?
I think you want to clean them overnight.
An overnight cleansing?
Yeah. When they're at their lowest precipitation level of the...
Low precipitation?
Yeah.
Low situational?
Right. You want to give them a little ambient dust and then clean them.
312-981-7200. When do horses get clean? We have 4 minutes of show here left. All right. Thanksgiving. We need to, as we wrap up here, we need to get a plan. I need to know the plan as to what you're going to do when you walk out of here in this dream fantasy radio world where you're in this bubble of safety is over and you're headed home and she's asleep when you walk in. Are you going to wake her or are you just going to crawl in?
I mean, honestly, you know, maybe we follow this up with a podcast. Oh, probably. I don't know what to say, Mark. I'm probably going to tiptoe in and try to slide in and then deal with it when the sun comes up. And
What time do you think she'll wake up?
I don't know.
Seven?
I don't know.
How does this normally go? What time does the thing?
I get up before her. So I'm going to try to slide in and, you know, I don't know. I go to 7-Eleven and get some of those cheap flowers, maybe. Maybe that's a move.
Will you do that?
Yeah, maybe with a handwritten note.
A flower.
And in that handwritten note says, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm wrong. I should have been more direct.
You know how much radio means to me.
And that'll be a handwritten note, and then I'll end it with, will this matter 5 years from now? That's a Letterman right there. That's a full circle 3-hour one.
That is. Okay.
I'll burn this 2 hours of showtime that we spent on it on a CD, and you can put it in the basket.
I'm wondering, because Seth was talking about, should we call her right now? I'm like, I don't think that's actually
this
the move that you want to make. Calling her is probably not what we should do.
Well, you got to know I'm always in the doghouse. Like, it wasn't like this was this was like a doghouse thing. Like, I'm always in it anyways. So this is like the dog, like, just going and peeing in the living room.
Right.
Even though she just took me outside, and then I come back in and I pee in the living room. It's a deep hole I'm in.
Were you real? Oh, boy. You were just taken out, and then you came back and peed in the living
That's
room.
That's the analogy.
No, but
I mean,
that would mean you did it on purpose. Like, you didn't go outside. And
I kind of did do it on purpose. That's the whole point. It was like a calculated, very casual pizza conversation. Hey, Mark invited me to do overnight. She's like, you know, we have 100, like 12 people coming in. It's going to be, really need your help tomorrow.
What time is Thanksgiving today? What time are people showing up?
Unclear. I didn't want to go deep in the conversation.
Who's coming in?
Her sister, her side. It's her side of the family, and some friends that are divorced. That the custody is the ones that don't have their kids. That the alternating custody. So there's some single divorcees that are going to be there. Like, we became like the place for that.
says nobody should be left behind on Thanksgiving.
That's beautiful.
My wife's hosting that, which is amazing, and I'll be limping the whole day, exhausted.
Then that's the other thing. I'm holding a.
What can I take besides coffee? What can I get off the shelf? Is there any OTC stuff like a OTC Adderall?
Don't think you need anything. All you need is actual connection. Look at people in the eye. Tell them how much it means for you to have them at Thanksgiving. Give your wife a little eye contact. Do a jumping jack or two. You don't need any stimulants. You got it all inside of you. You are more than capable of going 24 hours straight. You don't even need to go to bed. You could come in. I'm wondering if you could come into the house right now and get something done that would wow her and make her feel somewhat secure. Is there anything you could do at a 5 a.m. walking in?
That would be not come in the house. She's happiest when I'm not in the room.
Isn't there like a plate you could at least put out, like maybe dust off of something?
Could we not have had this earlier, or we had more time? Because I could have used a lot of suggestions right now. I feel like now you're just pushing me in the deep end. I'm 3 years old and I don't know how to swim.
I'll take text 312-981-7200. I'm going to be doing sports on Steve and Johnny.
Please let me know. I'm going to go in the lobby and sit there until you give me a good option.
What can he do walking into the house to make it right when he left his wife?
What do I do?
If you're just joining the show, he did not tell his wife he was going to do the radio show. She woke up in the middle of the
freaked
night.
Freaked out.
He wasn't there. It was 3 in the morning. She freaked out, thought that he had disappeared to Botswana or something terrible had happened, and she called him. The phone, his phone rang right on the show, and we've been talking about it ever since because that's been the show tonight. Which, you know, I hope it was a good listen. We certainly enjoyed doing it.
The show tonight is How to Win When You Fail.
Not bad.
How to Win When You Fail.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, Seth. Thanks for coming in. And
thank you. All kidding aside, man, I really consider you one of my closest friends, like a brother. I really do. You know how I feel about you. I love you. I say that right, looking you straight in the eyes. It's so hard to say that to people sometimes, but I do love you.
Love you back, bro. Appreciate you coming.
I loved it.
It meant a lot for you to have.
Thank
to have
you. And the listeners have contributed tonight. Amazing, amazing people.
Text coming in. Make her breakfast. How about a pancake? How about a nice omelet ready in bed?
Coffee. She can't even operate without coffee. So coffee. I might actually bring a barista to the house.
Two words: chocolate, pinata, full of jewelry. All right. Hey, everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Enjoy your families. I'll be here tonight or tomorrow, overnight, whatever that would be, from 2 until 5. Seth may show up again. Who knows?